Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Fraser here with you on this Thursday morning, live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. We've got Derek McKenzie, Predators assistant coach, coming up at 7:30. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports will be with us at 8 for his weekly visit, and we will get into the Titans, all things NFL, with him, so looking forward to that. Got the rant later this hour. I don't know if we've determined yet who's doing the rant. Could be me. Could be Joe.
Could be my stomach.
Could be. We'll find out. We made any progress on that front? We feeling better?
I think the Snickers was a good move. I think Frazier's idea for like a fizzy, like a 7-Up would be nice. Mm. But we don't have any.
7-Up. It's good stuff.
You know? But yeah.
Yellow.
What's that?
A mellow yellow?
I don't think mellow yellow. Does mellow yellow have fizz like that?
Probably not.
Yeah, then I just made
I haven't had a mellow yellow in a long time, so I don't remember.
You just made me sick again.
Sorry. Probably got more sugar than a sugar packet.
That's probably true.
Yeah, a little mellow yellow Mountain Dew. Just
lean into it.
Just have a total sugar crash out.
Why not?
Sure. Now I think it's getting a little better. Thanks for asking.
You're welcome.
Have you channeled your inner Betty White?
Yeah. See, he's feeling more like himself over there.
I mean, Snickers, got to say, man. No free ads, but, you know, I'm just saying. It works.
The NFL trading deadline coming up on Tuesday, November the 4th. So we're 5 days away from the trading deadline in the NFL. We talked about this a little bit with Kuharski yesterday. Joe, I will say this. I think that I, and you can agree or disagree with this. I'm interested to see your take on it. I think I'm probably a little bit more open to trading Jeffrey Simmons still at this point than a lot of people are. And obviously, he has played really well when he's been in there this year. So, I think obviously when you watch the way that he was playing and the level that he was at before the injury, you're like, well, that's a pretty darn good football player, and the Titans don't have a whole lot of those, so why would you get rid of him? So, I understand that line of thinking. And I'm not saying I would absolutely trade Jeffrey Simmons no matter what. I just think that I'm probably a little bit more open to it than the Titans and some of their fans now seem to be. You know, the conversation when this all started heading into the year was, you know, I doubt very seriously by the time the deadline comes around, anybody's going to offer a first-round pick for Jeffrey Simmons, right? Like, we talked about that. Like, could you get a second for him? And then you watched him play, and as time went on, it's like, well, he looks pretty good. Maybe you could get a first-round pick for him. And now, you know, Kuharski yesterday was like, a first and what? And it's like, well, you know, the conversation has changed. And to his credit, he's played so well that I think he's forced it to change. I guess my willingness to remain open to that conversation of listening, if I'm the Titans, would be this. He's 28 years old. He's playing at a high level right now. And in the NFL, if you do your job right, he can still be a really, really good player for you by the time the stadium opens here in a couple years when hopefully you've turned the roster enough and you're a better team. So, absolutely, he can still be a part of the next good era of Titans football. Is he going to be what he's been this year for the next 2-3 years? Is that what he is now? Or is this a special set of circumstances where he's lost the weight? You know, he obviously clearly wants a new contract coming up. And the other part of this is he's injured again as we sit here. And injuries have been creeping into his game over the last few years. They've not been like crazy bad. He had the ankle a few years ago that clearly bothered him. And I think it took him a while to get over that. But other than that, it's not like he's had some catastrophic injury out there. But he is. You know, he's missed the hamstring. Missed last week, basically missed all the Patriots game. We'll see what it looks like this week. Do we feel like the injury part of this is just going to get better as he gets into being 29, 30, 31 years old? Again, I'm not saying I would trade him. I'm not saying that I'm, you know, getting rid of him no matter what. I'm just saying I think I'd be a little bit more open to the conversation if I'm the Titans than some people seem to be at this point.
Yeah. It's all good points, good questions. The injury thing, the fact that he's playing tremendously well this year. This hasn't been him recent years. I think the obvious reason is like losing the weight, right? But I mean, it's not like he's been this year after year after year.
Correct.
So, you know, I didn't get into, is he just trying to get himself out of here? You know, I mean, I think he just found, like, he can be more effective at that weight. But the injury thing is a legit concern. Now, I do think back to, like, when A.J. Brown was traded or when there was talk of him and there was the injury stuff with him, you know, goofballs like Stilly.
Oh, I get it. Yeah, that trade makes sense. Yeah, good trade. Great job. I'm totally on board with this one.
Worked out well.
You know, that was a lot of the talk was, well, he's had a little knee thing and he's had this, and, you know, we see how that worked. Now, that's a much younger player
right. At
that point than Jeff Simmons is now. I would not be closed off. We have been talking this week about, do you want any football players?
Yeah.
Actual football players who can play football moving forward on your team. And he's a good one to have. But also, yeah, look, if you're going to tear it down to the studs, then, and you can really do something in the draft, you have to draft extremely well. But, like, I'm looking, again, I hate to keep using this team as a model because I've spent most of my life hating them. But here's another deal for Hutchinson and the Lions. You look at just their drafts and the insane – they're all going to get second deals because they drafted that well. If you can do that, you can have yourself a good football team in pretty short order.
Well, and it's – you know, again, I'm not listening to just anything on Jeffrey Simmons. But, like, yeah, I think the Bills are a perfect example. They just lost Ed Oliver with a torn biceps. Like, if Buffalo comes calling and offers you a first-round pick, are you telling me you wouldn't at least consider that? Like, I understand it's Buffalo and that the first-round pick at that point is going to be real low.
25th, 27th,
maybe 28th, 29th, 30th, somewhere in that neighborhood.
Yeah.
But it is another first-round pick, and it is a chance for you to draft a key player there. Like, if you're, I understand it's the bottom of the first round, but that should be a key starting level player. Now, yes, will it be hard to draft somebody in that spot that's as good as Jeffrey Simmons? Yeah. It's going to be hard to draft somebody anywhere that's as good as Jeffrey Simmons. But it's also kind of part of your job as you're the general manager. Again,
yeah, but
I'm just saying that the idea that you just don't consider it all at all, I can't get there with Jeffrey Simmons based on where they're at as a team.
I totally agree. And, yeah, of course, you cannot – guarantee you're going to get someone as good as him. But again, at the age he is, at the price he is, those things have to be considered as well. Ricky says a first and a second, maybe. Two firsts, or I'm laughing, maybe a first and a second. I mean,
they're not getting two firsts.
If you get two firsts, then you'd be absolutely silly not to do it.
Yeah.
I don't see that happening. A first and, I don't know, a third or something? To me, if that's the case, I have a hard time walking away from that.
Yeah, I would too. I mean, I don't think they're going to get that. Like, you know, I understand that he's played really well. I don't know how we've gone from everybody thinking that, oh, well, there's probably no way they're getting a first round pick to, well, now they're going to get a first and a third with Jeffrey Simmons in like the span of 6 weeks. I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah, you got a team that's just definitely, but that is what it takes, is something like that with Buffalo. And Oliver's really good. That's a big, big loss.
Yeah, and they're a team that obviously is, you know, it doesn't have to be them, but they're a team that is right in the thick of the Super Bowl race. It feels like the Titans are totally closed off to it. And if that's the way they want to do it, then, I mean, I guess I have no problem with them just absolutely keeping a good football player because they don't really have any of those. I'm just saying, like, if somebody calls me with a first-round pick offer for Jeffrey Simmons, I'm at least talking about it. I'm not just being like, well, nope, hang up the phone.
Yeah, I have a problem. Yeah, if they're really just, that's it. Sorry, nope, I have a problem with that. I think that's silly.
Let's head back to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Kyle to the program. Kyle, good morning. Thank you for calling in. Hello, Kyle. Are you there? I think we may have lost Kyle for a second. We'll check back in.
Call back, Kyle.
Here's what we'll do. We'll take your thoughts on this. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll come back, pick up the Jeffrey Simmons conversation. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 the game.
Jeffrey Simmons is one of the best players in our league. He's one of the best defensive players, you know, in our league, and we'll have our hands full. And that's the NFL. You know, you're going to play against guys like that every week, and you know, that's who we have week one, and excited to always compete against the best, and he's one that I definitely think is one of the best in our league and will be for a long time. Nothing's going-
That's Derek Carr a couple years ago. Loves him some Jeffrey Simmons. Taking your thoughts on Simmons, the NFL trading deadline in the Tennessee Titans, 615-737-1025. Let's welcome Kyle into the program on the phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com. Kyle, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Hey, guys. Can you hear me now?
I can, yes.
All right. Well, I've been pretty stern on not trading Simmons, but for some reason, Robbie, you got me this morning. You got me wanting to trade him. I don't know why, but the Ravens play tonight, and if they win, I believe they can go on a strong playoff push, and I could see them trading for Jeff Simmons since Matabike is down, and they should get a late team pick or in the early 20s, seeing how it was last week they were drafting slotted at like the third overall pick. So, yeah, I've been strong on not trading Simmons, but that could be our new starting defensive end or a star wide receiver for Cam. So, that's where I'm at right now with it.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Kyle. Appreciate it. I mean, to his point, again, I am not just going to trade Jeffrey Simmons for the sake of trading Jeffrey Simmons. I'm just saying if the compensation gets into first round territory, I think you've at least got to talk about it because, yes, it will be hard to replace Jeffrey Simmons. And if you're taking him off this football team that, by the way, is already atrocious with him, if you're taking him off of it, it just makes things that much harder. But I'm also looking around the rest of the roster, and it's like, well, you need at least one edge rusher, probably two. You need a wide receiver. At the moment, you need three corners. Like, there's a lot of things this team needs, and this is a trade chip that you could have that is by far your best trade chip right now that could go a long way to getting some of those younger pieces in here that eventually this roster is going to have. Like, that next wave of foundational players you're going to have alongside your quarterback. So that, again, is why I would give consideration to it if somebody's calling in with a first-round pick. Like, I think you'd have to talk about that.
Yeah, the Titans. I think people look at it – if you look at it one for one, like, okay, where are you going to find a better guy at that position? You think you're going to? I get that. Like, right now, you can make the case that he's as good as any D-tackle in it. And I think you go back to 2021, and it was like – I remember when they crushed the Rams on the road. It was like, well, Jeffrey Simmons was the best. I mean, he's not better than Aaron Donald, but it might be Aaron Donald then Jeffrey Simmons, and then Chris Jones in there wherever. Like,
yeah,
at different times it's been like that. Now in other years it has not been that. Like last couple of years, he has not been mentioned, and he shouldn't have been among the very very best. But if, looking at it like that, to me is the wrong way to look at it. It's look at how deficient you are at all these other places. Maybe you just have you got sweat, and maybe he keeps getting better, and you have some solid players there. But you have a monster edge, and you have a star receiver, and you have all these, because of this, you can get things. Again, you have to make great choices. I mean, that's still the thing. Can you make the right choices? But you have the ability to go out and address so many other things if you load up on the draft capital. And if it's first round picks, again, if you can trade, if you get one, you can trade out of that and you have another one, all of a sudden you can be heavy in the second, yeah, heavy in the third. That's where
how you build the
so
roster.
Many of these teams, you can get a handful of starters in a year.
Yeah.
And if they're good and you make good choices, you flip a roster, you transform a team. So I understand if you're thinking about it like, well, yeah, what D-tackle out there is going to be better than this dude? Probably not. Probably not going to have that, but you might have a bunch of other things you don't have.
Yeah.
And this is part of that.
Well, I just keep coming back to how are you reconstructing this roster in one offseason to the point where you can help your quarterback as much as possible, right? Like, to me, this would go – I understand on the one hand, it's like, well, you're not helping him at all when you're taking Jeffrey Simmons away from him on an already bad defense. And I get that. But it's also like, what if you do find a pretty good edge rusher with the first-round pick that you get for Jeffrey Simmons? Like, what would you rather have, dominant defensive tackle or pretty darn good edge rusher? Like, I don't know. You ask people around the league, they'd probably take the edge rusher in that situation. It's not – I mean, you'd have to tell me exactly who the player is and what they grow into and all those things.
I'd have a really good edge rusher, but also like a – third or fourth round corner who's a starter.
Yeah.
That's both things. And exactly. That's, that's the thing.
I'm just saying, like, all I'm saying is I think it would be a mistake for the Titans to just be totally closed off to this heading into the next 5 days. If a deal doesn't materialize to your satisfaction, then fine. You get to keep Jeffrey Simmons, and you know he's a great football player for you, and you're probably going to have to rework his deal at the end of the year, and he's going to get more guaranteed money and all those things. And there's nothing wrong with that. Like, if that's the way it goes for the Titans, then good. You've got a really good football player with you for the foreseeable future. I just think, like, the idea that, well, that some Titans fans that we've heard from that say, oh, there's no way in the world I'd trade Jeffrey Simmons. Like, there's nobody on the roster that I would view that. I mean, nobody's going to be calling about Cam Ward right now. So, and he's not even in this conversation to me. But there's nobody that the Titans have right now where I'd be like, well, there's no freaking way you could ever even entertain the idea of trading that guy, including Jeffrey Simmons.
Yeah, for sure. So, I hope that, again, just because you put it out there, not doing it, I think that's happened before where teams have put out that sort of messaging and then all of a sudden it's, you know. I mean, look, John Robinson all but said that, right? Yep. I mean, and then, you know, the A.J. Brown things, and that's a different situation. That was the negotiation here that caused that. But point being, it's fine to put it out there. I really hope that they aren't just like, nope,
yep.
Sorry. Just, you know, I'm just going to ignore that text. You know, no. I mean, just see what they have to say, because you might just have someone who's like, you know what, that guy is the final piece. Or like you said with Buffalo, it's like, you know, without Ed Oliver, this defense, there's no way we're winning the AFC East. Like, well, you got to have a guy in there. So how desperate are you?
And the other part of this, and I have no idea how he feels about this. You know, Jeffrey Simmons, by all accounts, seems to have really enjoyed being a Tennessee Titan, and he said all the right things about that. Like, does it reach a point with him? Has it reached a point with him over the last couple of weeks where he looks at it and he's like, man, get me out of here? I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah, he can.
I'm not
always
saying he has said that, but like, if it came out that Jeffrey Simmons approached the Titans about wanting a trade, would you blame him at this point?
No.
Because I sure wouldn't.
No. You know, there's plenty of people who you know, you can come back here and hang out, live, whatever. You just don't have to play for the team. No, I'm sure if you're Jeff Simmons and you get traded to a legit contender, you'd be pretty excited about it. Yeah. And no one should blame him for that.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll get Charles Robinson's thoughts on all this a little bit later in the show. Preds assistant coach Derek McKenzie will be with us coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Fraser here with you on this Thursday morning. The Preds back in action tonight on the road, taking on the Philadelphia Flyers. Puck drop at 6 o'clock, pregame 5 o'clock. Here on 102.5 The Game. And to help us talk more about that, we head to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Predators assistant coach Derek McKenzie. Derek, good morning. How are you?
I'm good, guys. How you doing?
Doing awesome, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. So, Derek, we're 11 games in at this point. You've got some good and some bad throughout the whole process. Still very early in the year as you're trying to build your game. What have you liked about your group to this point, and what do you think that next step is for your group?
Well, I mean, I think obviously early on we've been pretty resilient as far as, you know, I guess you just kind of referred to it. You know, not every game has gone perfectly for us, but, you know, guys have showed back up and, you know, played some pretty good hockey for the most part. I think, you know, consistency is something that, you know, we're looking for, especially in a 60-minute game. I think last game was a pretty good example of it, even the game against LA where, you know, we had some really good sections, really good, you know, 40 minutes or even more, but can't seem to, you know, find ways to finish them off. And we've talked a lot about that, having to be comfortable in these low scoring games. There's going to be a lot of them. We just got to find a way to come out on the other side of them.
Is that sort of, you know, going into the season, Derek, you guys expect that it was going to be that way, that essentially this was going to have to be more of a, I guess, defensive team and win games that way?
Yeah, it was definitely an emphasis through training camp, you know, making a few little tweaks and spending some extra time in D zone and making sure that, you know, everybody's comfortable defending. And, you know, we knew that was something that, you know, we may have to spend a little bit more time in our zone. That's just where the league's at. There's obviously some teams with a lot of speed and a lot of skill, and so we wanted to be prepared for that. And I thought for the most part, we've done a really good job, you know, over the course of these first 11 games as far as, you know, frustrating and suppressing most of these teams' offense. Again, just getting away from us a little bit against Tampa Bay, and obviously the result wasn't in our favor.
So, Derek, obviously, you know, defensively, I think there's clearly been some improvement there. I was talking to Bunting after the game the other night, and he says the offense, you know, has got to pick it up, obviously, at this point. I think 8 of the 11 games you've had 2 goals or fewer. So in the offensive zone, what are you seeing, and what do you think is the step that needs to be taken there to maybe lead to a little bit more production on a consistent basis offensively?
Well, I mean, you know, a couple things. Obviously, I think, you know, with our DNA, our forecheck has been really good for us early on and has been over the course of the last few years. And then I think we're spending enough time in the O-zone. I think really the message has been, again, getting back to, you know, not pressing for that. I think obviously guys, you know, want to score. We want to win those games, and sometimes you want to win them big, but, you know, we can't compromise on all that and you know, get loose at the other end. So for me, you know, I think it's just a matter of time, you know, before obviously our offense picks up. But again, we don't want to change a whole lot. I think we've, you know, defended really well, and we've taken care of our rush game, and we've done some things to be a little bit more conservative in the middle of the ice so that, you know, we're not just feeding into other teams' offense. And I think if we continue to do those things, we just have to have some poise and some patience in these games. And, you know, obviously our goaltending has been really strong for us. So those are all positive signs, you know, one or two bounces the other way and you start winning these games 4-2.
Luke Evangelista gets on the board. Obviously, he, you know, missed a lot of time with the contract thing going on. What do you need from him, expect from him this year, Derek? And do you think there's still some runway here because of that missed time until he gets, I guess, you know, to the place where you guys want him to be?
Yeah, I mean, you know, for any player to have to miss training camp the way Luke did, it's a very difficult situation. It doesn't seem like much, but, you know, just not starting camp with everybody else going through those reps, getting into some exhibition games is difficult. I thought he did a really good job stepping in under the circumstances that he did. And then, you know, for him now, it's a tough kind of uphill battle in the sense that, like, we have a lot of games. It happens really quick. And so, you know, you got to kind of get up to speed as quickly as you can. And, you know, I think last game was a really good step in the right direction for Luke, obviously, you know, now becoming a little more established in the league and that should feel a little bit more comfortable with his contract. You know, for him, he's just going to be a guy for us that night in and night out has to be consistent. And again, it's not, we don't need him to light up, you know, the scoreboard. Obviously that's what comes naturally to him, but, you know, just work on his being a well-rounded, you know, winger for us and a veteran player and a guy that we can rely on.
So Derek, the penalty kill has been outstanding to begin the year for you guys. And on the one hand, that's good. You have a really good penalty kill. On the other hand, I know that, you know, Bruno was talking about this after the game the other night. Feels like you guys are taking way too many penalties, way too many stick infractions, things like that. So what do you make of the success of the penalty kill to this point? What's led to that in your mind, and how much of an emphasis is maybe cleaning up some of those stick infractions moving forward?
Yeah, I mean, I think I'll let those PK guys kind of speak for themselves on that one. I think obviously just a bunch of humble guys working together and you know, it's working, and I think we'll just kind of leave it at that. But as far as, you know, addressing the stick penalties and, you know, being in the box a little too much, I think the biggest concern there is just that the way they've, you know, been killing, it's very aggressive, and you know, we're asking a lot of them. And so if we're doing that too many times in a game over the course of 10 games, and, you know, the concern is just how long can you keep that up? And so, you know, it takes away ice time, obviously, from the guys who aren't killing, and it really kind of taxes the guys that are killing, including our goalie. So we definitely got to find ways to you know, check with our feet and avoid some of these stick penalties. I mean, you know, it's going to happen in a game when we're forechecking hard and playing physical and doing all the right things. We expect there to be a little bit of it, but you know, we obviously have to kind of eliminate a few of those stick penalties where, you know, they're in the neutral zone and the offensive zone and can be avoided.
What are you seeing right now from Marchessault?
He's been good. You know, I think he's come into camp. You know, I know he's a competitive guy, plays with a lot of pride. I think, you know, he felt like, you know, he wanted to, you know, have a better start than maybe he did last year. Obviously he had a lot going on, so it's all completely understandable. But no, I thought he's moving well. He's, you know, again, down in the offensive zone, he's a guy that once he gets that puck, it's really hard to get it off him, and he's you know, he can make plays, and that's where he feels most comfortable. But I think his all-around game's been really good. And like I said, I'm sure he'd love to be scoring, you know, at a little bit of a higher rate. But, you know, that's just kind of where we're at and how we're asking some of those guys to play. And it's nice to see the buy-in.
Well, Derek, always good with your time. I know you guys have a ridiculously busy schedule, especially this year with how condensed it is. Appreciate so much you taking time to be with us this morning, and we will talk to you soon.
No problem, guys. Always enjoy coming on, so appreciate it. We'll talk soon.
Yep, Preds assistant coach Derek McKenzie, our guest here on Robbie and Rexford. Again, the Preds are in action tonight, taking on the Philadelphia Flyers on the road. And then, Joe, they are back at home Saturday. Back at home, or back on the road Tuesday, back at home next Thursday, back at home next Saturday before heading off to Sweden. A lot of games and not very much time this year.
Yeah.
Got
the
Sweden trip, which is its own thing. So you got to block out some time for that. When they come back, I think they get like 5 days off or 6 days off. And then there's the Olympics in February where you're off as a league for basically 3 weeks. So it's going to be a lot of hockey in a very quick amount of time. I mean, they're already on game 12 and it's October the 30th.
Yeah, highly disrupted year, so highly condensed in the times that aren't disrupted. Is that good or bad for the Preds?
I don't know. I mean,
I guess maybe older teams, maybe not as good.
Not as good.
Probably.
Yeah.
With that.
Yeah, it's a concern. I know that. It also is going to like require, as the year goes on, your backup goalie to play well and to get you some wins because they're going to have to use him. Like, you can't just run Saros into the ground. And, you know, Onanen, I'm not saying it's been awful so far, but they have, I think the first game he was in, they gave up 7. There may have been an empty net or two in there, too. And then gave up 4, I believe, against, was it 3 or 4 against the Stars when he was in last week? I can't remember. Either way, they need him to be better as they move forward. It was 3 against the Stars.
So. Yeah. Yeah, because you've got to be able to give your guys some rest and feel okay about it, have a chance.
Yep. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. We'll have the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad coming up next. Charles Robinson will be with us at 8 o'clock. All of that is ahead here on the program. Check out Saturday's college football game of the week. It's number 5 Georgia taking on Florida at 2:30 on 94.9 The Fan. Following the Vanderbilt game, presented by Twin Peaks Restaurants and Circa Sportsbook Kentucky. Coverage also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. You're listening to Robbie and Rexroad, 102.5 The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rexroad.
Oh, I need sources to tell that?
We had a love fest. We all kind of gathered around. We hugged each other.
Born and raised downriver.
Whose head, whose ass are you? Is your head up then?
Oh, can't you see this, Joe? It's inconsistent.
You better not have another biscuit.
Look at this jerk.
Ooga, ooga. But sometimes I definitely notice my nipples.
It is time for the Rex Rant, brought to you by Functional Medicine of Tennessee. Rise up to better health. Check them out at functionalmedicineoftennessee.net. Fraser, you're doing an outstanding job on the mashup this morning.
Well done, well done. And I, like a jerk that I am, in the last minute was like, oh, can you get this audio clip ready?
By the way, we're doing a segment on this in a minute and a half. Can you get this ready?
Can you get that ready real fast? And of course, he's like, I already got it, man.
Yeah.
I already got it for you. So I do want to play this because this is it's everywhere as if it's new. But just in case people didn't know, like this is from – I think preseason, right? This is preseason. So this is Carly Ursay Gordon. There are 3 daughters of the late Jim Ursay who are basically running. But Carly has taken the lead.
She's got the headset on.
We've had some fun with the whole headset thing. But let's revisit what she said about that, which now this week, especially, I don't know why, but this week it's just like this is a new, brand new thing that she just said.
I need to learn more about this. I need to be able to say, is this person full of BS? Do they even know what they're talking about? And I think one of the things that being on the headset has really helped me learn is, to the question earlier, there it's such a complex organism of football team and how it operates, and on game day, and you could say, oh, that person ran that route wrong, when you learn to find, oh, someone tagged the wrong wide receiver and it wasn't really the player's fault. It was the person that called it. So, and it's never, I think that's been a very valuable, because it also helps us be able to know, where do we need to make tweaks? What resources do we need? What do we need to fix? So much of it comes down to just how we operate and how things work. And the headsets are really, I would suggest it for anyone else that has to pay coaches and GMs millions and millions of dollars. It helps you make a less expensive mistake, potentially.
Where? What do you mean?
Where's Amy Adams Strunk right now?
Yeah, she's at her home.
Oh, we had a little tack on there. A little tack on. Okay.
Yeah, that was perfect.
So the point, first of all, let's dismiss this out of hand before we get into the discussion that I want to have, which is, like, some of the, it's like with Amy and some of the, with Carly too, like some people are just like, oh, little lady getting in football, you get yourself back, you know, that, get that crap. I mean, there's no difference between some heir and heiress. Like some dude is like, oh, I played flag football when I was 9, and oh, you know football then, you're a dude.
Get Woody Johnson out there, huh?
That'll go. Yeah, well. Exactly, yeah. So that part of it is stupid. We can dismiss that. But I find this hilarious because the Colts are good.
Yeah.
And this is such a beautiful thing about sports. The Colts are winning. They're scoring at an incredible clip. They're one of the stories of the NFL. Good for them. But now everybody's like, this is fantastic. This is how you lead an organization. Look at everybody. Whereas in the preseason when this thing happened, everybody's like, oh, my God, how stupid is this? Oh, yeah, go out there with your headset on. It's just a great example. If you're winning, whatever your personality is awesome. You know, you're a yeller and screamer. That is a winning personality. You are tough. You hold people to a high standard. You're losing, you're yelling and screaming. Oh, my God, you unhinged loser, Brian Kelly. Get out of here. You know, it's a beautiful thing about sports. I will say, though, like, I guess maybe I'm just being influenced by the Colts winning. Like, if I was one of these goofball heirs, I think I might put the headset on.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, look, I will give her credit. And I think we talked about this at the time when she made these comments. Like, the reasoning behind it makes sense. Like, you know, it's not like she's getting on there like, hey, guys, you sure you want to go that play call on fourth down? Like, it's not like she's offering opinions on there. She's just listening to what's going on. And, like, I don't hate the idea if you're an owner and you're trying to figure out how your operation is going, like just listening in on this stuff all the time. I don't think this is going to turn into some trend around Lee. I don't think Amy's going to be in the owner's booth on Sunday being like, wow, they just called a bubble screen on third down. Can you believe it? Coach, don't do that, Mike. Don't do that. I don't think that's going to happen. But like it is the way she explained it at the end of the clip there is like, well, you are paying these coaches millions and millions of dollars, so like, I would encourage people who are doing that to maybe have a clue of kind of what's going on out there.
Yeah. A big thing here, and I don't think she does this, but absolute big thing here, like, you can't chime in.
No. I mean, I don't think that's
the case. Yeah. If there's a chime in, that's what I would expect from Jerry Jones.
Yeah.
Like, Jerry Jones chiming in, that's, and even Jerry just kind of sits up there in his booth, it looks like, and kind of, you know, having a mimosa and like, oh, we won, you know. So, I mean,
we traded Michael Parsons and we won.
Apparently, I just sounded like Bobby Boucher. People are adding others. Steven are saying I sound like Bobby. I guess that's probably just because of the news of the day, which is you, AD will not be hiring a football coach down here. We will not be AD hiring a football, Donald Trump, you gonna hire our football coach. Lane Kiffin, come on down.
You're going to work for $18 an hour.
My God, we'll get you set up with some crawfish etouffee. All right.
It's like a mixture of Bobby Boucher and I'd say Eddie Murphy.
Colonel Sanders?
I'd say Eddie Murphy and Nutty Professor.
Foghorn Leghorn?
Yeah, exactly. I say, Scott Woodward, how many buyout dollars are you going to collect for us, sir?
The more we could have this happen, the better off we'll all be.
Yeah.
So do we want to see Amy on a headset? Should Amy take notes from Carly Ursay Gordon and start listening to what's going on? Probably not. I mean, you got the interim coach right now, so maybe next hire. Get Mike McCarthy out there and Amy's on the headset.
Well, it's a great question. See, here's the thing.
Good call, Mike.
No, the thing is, if she were to do this, she would get killed.
Yeah, I know.
Because they stink. That, right? That's what it is. It's so, no, I would advise her to, if somehow you luck out and some of these people you've hired hire other good people and somehow they pick some good football players and you get good, maybe at that point do it. Don't do it while you're this, because you're just going to be, you know. But the Colts now, it's like, look at, I mean, I swear to you, it's like random people in like the business world and like that, not even in the sports world, are tweeting this out. And they're like, see, more organizations should be like this. It's like, this has been out there for months, and mostly it got made fun of before we realized that they were going to be good at football.
Also, it's like, it's football, man. Like, I don't know how applicable this is to the corporate world of America.
You should spy on your employees.
You should listen in on the sales calls and coach them from the side over there. But hey, good on her. It's going well in Indianapolis.
It is. I mean, seriously.
And look, I will, in all seriousness, I do appreciate an owner that is clearly passionate about her product.
I mean, like what she said especially is like, you could save yourself millions. And I know we all look at these people like, yeah, you're a billionaire. But okay, still, you know, you get you don't get rich by constantly making stupid money decisions, you know? And, I mean, I know some of these people just got rich because they got born. And, hey, you're rich. But I'm just saying, you're trying to keep the money. You're trying to grow the money. And, I know, I as much as I'm making fun of this whole thing, I'm kind of, like, also on the bandwagon of, I like it.
If Amy was if Amy was on the headset, she could have prevented, you know, a few years ago, Vrabel from trying to get Brett Kern killed.
Mike, she just runs down the sideline. Stop! Stop!
Mike, you can't call a fake punt with Brett Kern running. Devin White's out there. He's going to kill him. He's going to kill Kern.
I have high expectations.
Oh, boy. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I didn't even mean for this to turn into an Amy rip. I wasn't trying to do that.
I'm not ripping her. I'm just saying she should have been on the headset.
Nick's over there busting out the, you know, the Amy greatest hits. Good stuff.
A giant good catalog.
Stuff. Yeah, we have.
Run, Cam. Save yourself.
Oh, boy.
We have Charles Robinson with us coming up next. We'll get into the Titans and all things NFL with him. If you're looking for a great spot to pregame before the Titans game at Nissan Stadium, stop by John Bon Jovi's and pregame with 102.5 The Game. JBJ's has the best food on Broadway, cold beer and cocktails, and stunning skyline views, including two epic rooftops. Pregame show brought to you by Parman Tractor and Equipment and Circa Sportsbook Kentucky. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.